If you got your Bible, open them up to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 today as we continue our sermon series over a biblical worldview. Those different things that we need to understand about the Scriptures, the things that we need to understand about God, in order for us to be a people who have a biblical worldview that look at everything through the lens of Scripture, that we see things as God sees things. Here's what I want you to see in Ephesians chapter 10, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. It says this: "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and His vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces in the evils of heaven, or of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints." Now, twice in there, we know where it talks about the spiritual armor of God, the purpose of it and what it does. But in those verses, we often focus on the armor of God itself, and that's important. We're going to talk about it a little bit. But the purpose of it, if you read it, is to withstand the tactics, it says, of the devil. I think for us to have a biblical worldview, we need a clear understanding of the devil. Here's the issue. In our culture, whether it's through books we read or comic books we see, or maybe cartoons or movies or just little drawings that we see. All well and good when it comes to cartoons, but when it's theology, that's not a very good theology of the devil. You see, I don't think the devil moves around with a smile on his face. I don't think he's red. I really doubt he has a pitchfork. But for us, we see that so often that we're so inundated with this caricature of the devil that we sometimes don't have a really good theology, a really good understanding. When Satan was cast out of heaven for his rebellion and his pride, that a third of the angels went with him. Now, we don't exactly know that. The reason we think that is because of in Revelation 12, where it's talking about the dragon, and it says that a third of the demons were, a third of his tail snatched a third of the stars out of the sky. And so we kind of correlate that theologically to think it was a third, but we don't really know if it was a third of the demons that were cast out of heaven with Satan and cast into a life of rebellion. Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a lightning flash." Now, when did this happen? That's not something that we exactly know. Sometimes that's a question, but I want you to know this. When you have things in the Scriptures that sometimes that you can't find and you can't figure out and you can't be definitive about it, you need to know this. It's probably because God didn't know. God will put it in there. Okay? But I think when we think about it, sometimes with Satan, we think about when did this happen? It definitely had to happen prior to Genesis 3, because in Genesis 3, Satan is a serpent on the earth, and he's talking to Adam and Eve. So we know it had to happen to that. Some people say it happened prior to creation. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 talks about a ministering spirit set out to serve those who inherit salvation, that God had created those. And when was Satan and the angels created, and when did the fall of Satan happen? It's something that we don't really know. So the reason I say that to you is there are some things in the Scriptures that just really we don't need to know, or I think God would have put it in there. But the things about Satan that we do need to know, I think they're very plainly in the Scriptures. When we think about the origin of Satan, and then we think about those tactics of the devil in verse 11, the method of Satan. How is it that Satan operates? Here's what you need to understand. I'm an angel of light. Now, when you read that, and no wonder, for Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, you need to stop and think about that for a second. Why as an angel of light? Because an angel of light would be an angel that we would think is opening doors for us and giving us tremendous blessed opportunities from the Lord, right? So Satan would disguise himself as an angel of light because sometimes, and it's amazing how many times I hear people say, well, it just looks like a great opportunity that God provided. You need to know sometimes it's not a great opportunity and God didn't provide it. It's an angel of light that's given you an opportunity for a door that walks to disaster. It's not always a blessing just because it's a promotion. It's not always a blessing just because it comes with more money. It's not always a blessing because you think it'll be better for you or make you look better in society's eyes. You got to know that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. It goes back to what I was talking about with the kiddos this morning. How do you know if it's an angel of light or if it's Satan disguised as an angel of light? I would tell you it's wisdom. And where do you get that? But from the Lord. It's walking with Him. That's how we know those things. The second thing I would say that the Scriptures are very plain about is that not only is He being of disguise, but also of deceit. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, there is no truth in Him. When He tells a lie, He speaks from His own nature because He is a liar and the father of lies. We teach our kiddos over and over and over, honesty is the best policy. We tell them that over and over and over. We don't think of the fact that when we tell lies or when we're not truthful, that we're lying like the devil. The devil is one who is constantly out to deceive you. If he can deceive you with a disguise, great, but if he can't, he'll deceive you with words. The devil is constantly lying to us. That's not only true for us as children, that honesty is the best policy, but that's true for students and that's true for adults. We know that for us, that honesty is the best policy, and the Scriptures are very plain that Satan is not about honesty ever at any time. It's amazing at the blindness of culture. It's amazing to me when you think about the idea that Satan disguises and Satan deceives. Do you see things happen in our world today that you just say to yourselves, I don't understand how they can't see this? I don't get it. It's so obvious. Why can they not see this? It's because of disguise and deceit. For us to keep in mind that at the culture that we live for. I'm amazed sometimes when I hear people speak about topics that are in total opposition to the Scriptures and they just can't seem to understand. It's because the devil is involved in it and he is the father of lies. That's not only true for politicians and world leaders and groups, but it's also true for people that live right here in Marshall County. I'm amazed sometimes at the decisions that I see people make. Maybe they're leaders. Maybe it's just to have you be a part. But it says in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that God had made. I don't know about you, but we talked about that this week. We were in Genesis chapter 3, and I think that is an interesting word, cunning. Not typically what I think of if I think of snakes. Cunning is not the first word that comes to mind when I think of serpents. But I got to reading about it and studying it this week and looking it up in different translations of the scriptures. Some of yours probably say cunning. Some of yours may say crafty. Some of yours may say subtle. Some of yours may say clever. But here's what I want you to know, regardless of whether it's cunning or crafty or subtle or clever, you need to understand this. What all of those mean is he's good at it. He's good at disguise, and he's good at deceit. I tell you the other thing that it means when it says he's cunning and crafty and subtle and clever is it means that you and I are no match for Satan. You may be pretty sharp. You may have walked with the Lord for a lot of years. You may be pretty mature in your faith, but I want you to know something. You're no match for the devil. It's important for each of us to understand that. It's important for us to understand it because when you're sitting at home, no matter how long you've been a Christ follower or maybe how mature you are or how immature you are in your faith, here's what you need to know. When you're channel surfing, the devil will work on you in just a minute to pause where you shouldn't be. When you're on the internet and you're just Googling or pictures come up, it just takes a moment. You see, the devil's very cunning. He's very clever. He's very crafty. And he's very subtle. You see, the fact is, if the devil was just belligerent, we'd all go, oh, that's of the devil. I'll stand back. But we all have a tendency to stand a little closer to the fire than we should because he is so cunning and clever and crafty and subtle. Not just when we're channel surfing, but for some of us when we're shopping at the store. You see, the devil sometimes will help you when you're out at the store. He will assist you in making bad decisions and bad purchases. Now, of the Lord's blessing to us, and it happens in a moment because we see that shirt that we just really like. It would just match that pair of pants we have at home. The devil works quick, and he's subtle in so many ways in the things that he does. The truth of the matter is, for all of us, we all have a weak link. Now, we are all sinners, and we all struggle. But I would tell you that everybody in this room has an area that you really struggle of that area for you. I've said this to you before. I got to tell you, my struggle is not stealing. I don't think I have ever at one time walked in Walmart or into a mall and saw something that I liked or something that I wanted or something that I needed and thought to myself, I wonder if I could get out of here without paying for that. I don't think I've ever thought that my entire life. Give the devil a wide open opportunity. No. No, he just needs an inch. Maybe not even an inch. Maybe a millimeter. The devil just needs a second, just a crack to get at any of us. Not only is he a master of disguise and tremendous at deceit, but he's cunning and crafty and subtle and clever. But I also want you to hear this morning. He's relentless. You all know this. Certainly the devil has minor victories in all of our lives, but no matter how many minor victories or major victories you have, we are all one significant decision from destroying our reputation and our witness. But even if it doesn't destroy our reputation and it doesn't destroy our witness, every time we make a decision in that battle for holiness or that battle for rebellion, if we succumb to the temptations of the devil, it messes up the relationship we have with God every time. We think, well, it's not so bad. Well, it's not so bad. Maybe the fallout won't be so bad. But in relation to schedule, he's more aware of the scriptures than you and I are. But he doesn't know when Jesus is coming back either. But he does know this. When Jesus comes back, he's going to get free time. He knows he's going to get some time. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation that he's going to have an opportunity to wreak havoc, unlike the havoc that he's doing today. It won't be the same. So while he can destroy you at 7, or he can destroy you at 70, He can destroy you whether you're a Sunday school teacher and a deacon or a preacher. He'll take victory anywhere he can get it, day or night. Which, just for what it's worth, for some of you who like to stay up in the wee hours of the morning until you're exhausted because you've worked all day and now you want to watch TV all night, or you want to play on the internet all night, or you want to do whatever, hey, you need to know this, the at all of them. It's not like he's pretty good. He's real good at disguise. He's super at deceit and craftiness and relentlessness. And why? Because they're successful. And knowing that they are successful, why would he ever change? You think about it. What did he say to Eve? In Genesis chapter 3, he said, did God really? Satan uses those same tactics because they're so successful. When we think about his origin and where he came from, and we think about his methods, you can't help but wonder, hey, what is the purpose? Why does he do what he does? Verse 12 says, but we wrestle not against the rulers and the principalities and the powers of this world. I think that's significant for us to understand that the purpose for us is to understand, what does the battle look like? John chapter 10, verse 10 says, a thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know that. Probably a good number of you, as I started part of the way through it, you got the steal and you got the kill and you got the destroy without us even putting it up on the screen. You already know it. I think sometimes we know steal, kill, and destroy so much that it just rolls off our tongue without thinking exactly what that means. What if the scripture said to abduct? To murder? And to annihilate? Same words. They're all synonyms. But we say steal, kill, and destroy because it just rolls off our tongue. We've heard it so many times. But if I said to you this morning that he's here to abduct, he's here to murder, and he's here to annihilate, it puts it in a different perspective for many of us. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9 say, be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, devour is not a good term. But when we think lion, we think like this. We think man, king of the jungle. How awesome is a lion? But the scriptures don't describe him as that kind of lion. They say a lion seeking whom he may devour. You see, he's not just a big cat, but we think of the scriptures describing him like that. You need to think of Satan as an open mouth, big teeth lion. You need to think of Satan, as I've told you before, I'm a fan of the big cats. That picture right there, you can see the one on the right. He's got a little blood on him, but I'm just going to tell you, he's barely gotten started devouring whatever he was eating. When you see a lion that's finished eating, all of that big royal mane is just matted and nasty. That's the picture that you need to have of Satan, not the first one, royal and regal. You need to think of this one with teeth and blood. He's out not just to steal, kill, and destroy, but to abduct and murder and annihilate you and your loved ones. You need to understand the seriousness of what's happening with the devil. I will tell you this. You are not as serious about the devil as the devil is about you. You are not as serious about the devil as the devil is about you. He's ruthless. It's a constant war the Lord has called us to be. The percentages say you won't be one of those casualties, but it doesn't necessitate it. It doesn't guarantee it. Hey, you can walk with the Lord and the devil can still get you. You need to know He hadn't given up on you just because you were victorious yesterday. Just because you've been holy for the last 8 years doesn't mean He won't get you tomorrow. Or that He'll be bound for 1,000 years. The Scriptures talk about that as the millennium. But then Revelation chapter 20 says the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You need to know, I think the devil is well aware he's going to lose. He's just playing now to see how many of us he can get to lose along with him, and how many of us he can destroy in the process. Satan will eventually be cast into the lake of fire. And then there will be what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. That's where everybody who has not professed their faith in Jesus Christ will stand before God Almighty. And they'll have a sentence pronounced on them, and they will be cast into the lake of fire right along with Satan and right along with his demons. We talked about hell last week. But in our holy, to withstand the fiery darts of the devil is to walk with God and to understand His grace and power, the strength that He provides to each one of us. The Scriptures talk about it there in verse 10, that we would be strengthened by the Lord and His vast strength. You remember when I said you and I are no match for the devil. But with the strength and the power of the Lord, we can all be victorious over the devil. The Scriptures say our battle is not against flesh and blood, for we wrestle not. When I read that, that makes sense to me. I've told you before, but when I was in school, I wrestled. And here's what I know. Football is a great game. They play for about 8 seconds, and then they huddle up and rest and talk about what they're going to do next. Basketball is a great game. But after you make a basket, you get to jog down the floor and you kind of set up while the other team typically walks the ball down the floor. But here's what I know about wrestling when I wrestled. I know that you're only at it for 3 minutes in the first period and 2 minutes in the next two periods. But I know this, if at ever for 1 second you let up, you're fixing to be in a bind. There's no let up in wrestle. The second you let up, you're in trouble. And I would tell you that the Scriptures say, for we wrestle not against, gave you opportunity and options. You made the choice. You see, you can't lay it off on the devil. He and his demons will provide opportunity and options, but I want you to know God has provided a full armor for you to withstand. Jesus quoted Scripture in Matthew chapter 4 when Satan tempted him over and over. With the same things he tempts us with. Isn't your plan better than God's plan? I think we got a shot at remaining holy. Here's what I'll tell you. The Holy Spirit is the difference maker to us. That's where God's strength and power is provided to us, is through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that when we surrender our lives to Jesus, He sends His Holy Spirit to live in us. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know there's something that happens when you surrender your life is Almighty. That's one of my favorite quotes from one of the guys I like to read. His name's David Jeremiah. He says, the devil is mighty, but God is Almighty. Here's my invitation to you today. On this Super Bowl Sunday, here's what I know. I bet a lot of money on them. If I knew they were going to win, here's the invitation to you this morning. There's just two teams. There's Jesus' team, and there's Satan's team. And I'm going to tell you, I know which one wins. If you're not on Jesus, something that you've been doing for 24 hours or 24 years, the good news is God loves you. And the Bible says that once you're in God's hand, no man can take you out. That includes Satan himself. Once you're there, you're there. But you do got to walk with him every day. If your life's not where it needs to be, you come and let us know, and we'll pray with you. Or you can come and pray at the altar yourself. But make sure today that you leave right everything about you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the fact that you give us your Holy Spirit, that we might withstand the fiery darts of the devil. Lord, I pray for anybody here today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that this day would be the day that they say, I want to join Jesus' team.